Welcome to the Boxing Talk Show, Fed but Firm, with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joel Cortez and co-host John Zimmel for all of Las Vegas.
Come on, guys, let's touch them up. Clean fight. I'm Joel Cortez, Fed but Firm.
Well, welcome to the Fed but Firm show here in Las Vegas, Nevada, the boxing capital of the world. Monday morning. Nice and hot outside.
Oh, boy.
And we had some heat this past weekend, some of these fights.
Yes, sir, we
did. I mean, this guy rolled with Triple G. He was rolling.
He was rolling. He wasn't quite rolling with the punches.
He was rolling from the punches on the canvas,
oh,
man.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Triple G showed that.
He looked good, man. He still looked good. I mean, he looked good against the 81st ranked middleweight in the world. I mean, he was undefeated, but. I mean, I don't know. I never heard of him before this fight. Did you?
No, I never heard of Steve Rolls. But nobody heard much about Andy Ruiz either.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, a little bit, but not as much. But, I mean, yeah. Rolls never really came up to the...
No, he never fought anybody. I mean, he got the Triple G payday. Good for him.
Yeah, he got a good payday, and I got a good... I got some good shots.
He might be good. He's just not good enough to beat Triple G.
I think he's not finished yet, but he still has a little lot to learn.
Yeah. Let's just dive right in since we're doing this. Steve Willis, who's one of my favorite, everybody's favorite referees in the world. Yeah. His facial expressions and his professionalism are just unbelievable. I love that guy. But why did he count? I mean, once his face hit the mat. Well, is everybody getting a count since Tyson Fury came back to life, or is it just
Well, I don't know. Maybe some referee think that maybe they should count. I mean, I normally when I see a guy go face down first,
it's facing the canvas, man.
You know, we're looking about the safety of the fighter. We don't want to see these guys. You know, if you start counting, if he gets up, are you going to let it go? Anyway,
he let him get up until he fell back into the ropes. And once again, I love Steve Willis. I'm seriously asking.
He does a great job.
He's phenomenal, one
of my favorite referees out there.
Absolutely.
He does a great job. And, you know, but he did the right thing.
I've rewatched it a few times. He was telling, when his face first hit the canvas, he's telling Triple G, go to the corner. So I don't think he saw his face hit the canvas. He saw him as he kind of started to get up, and then he started counting. And then as soon as he fell into the ropes, he called
the
fight.
Well, you know, one of the things that we all referees learn from one another, sometimes, you know, if we're not too much concerned. Let's keep our eyes on the guy that hits the canvas. The other guy, when he goes to a neutral corner, we know he got to go to a neutral corner.
Yeah.
But let's keep our eyes focused on the fighter. When he hits, you keep your eyes on him. When you're going to direct...
He was lights out, man.
When you direct the fighter who scored a knockdown, you're going to direct him to a neutral corner. Just point and just, you know, really... It's not that important. If he comes out a little bit, you got to keep your eye focused on the guy that's hurt on the canvas. You know? I mean, it's true that we tell the fighters in the dressing room, if you come out of that corner while I'm counting, I'm going to have to stop the count. It's not to your advantage. You're stepping away. You know, you may end up losing a fight because the guy may end up getting up. And
That's what happened with Wilder Fury. Wilder was dancing around. They didn't start the count till Wilder got to the third. Gave Fury a little extra time.
Well, the count really actually continues. Until
with the timekeeper.
With the timekeeper. But once the referee picks up the count for the timekeeper, the timekeeper stops his count. Because that's when you have to...
But it's just why have an unnecessary delay? I mean, we saw it in this one with the Dominic Brazil fight.
Right.
He went sprinting to the corner on this one.
Right, right.
He wasn't playing any games after that one. He's like, now that I know people can get up.
But you know what? One thing I'm going to say, though, in the amateur ranks... The amateur fighter, I think they pay more attention to the rules than the professionals.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about amateurs. Yeah, I mean, amateurs are so, I mean, from the Olympic levels even down to Golden Gloves, stuff like that, everything is, you know, every point matters. It's a lot more technical and especially rule-based. Whereas professionals are driven by profit, so it's a lot more about entertainment.
It's a little bit more flexible, but still the referee has to make sure that the fighters are sent to a neutral corner and remain there until the referee, you know, signals you to come back out again. But I mean,
let's ask a question that people want to know the answer to here. Did you learn anything from this Triple G fight? Did you learn anything about Triple G? Did he look older to you? Did he look slower? Did he look better? New trainer? New everything?
I think Triple G looked fine. He looked like he still has what it takes to be a top middleweight champion.
He's still got the same chin. He's still got the same power. That's what I learned.
He didn't lose anything. He looks pretty sharp to me. I'd like to see a rematch with Canelo. I mean, because
I think they do too. I think that's something they've been building.
I mean, he looked good. He stopped this guy who's undefeated. I mean, you win by knockout, an explosive knockout like that.
It was.
People say, you know what? I'd like to see him again with Canelo.
Absolutely. I mean, we know Canelo can take hard shots, and we know Triple G can take hard shots.
Yeah.
I mean, those were two of the most beautiful fights we've ever seen. Two of the most technically masterful, wow, action packed fights that I mean, exist in boxing these days. And so who wouldn't want to see a third one of those? And how beautiful would it be? Look, Canelo's a Hall of Famer already. He's going to go on to be one of the greatest. He's in talks for Fighter of the Decade. But how beautiful would it be to see Triple G end his career by beating Canelo Alvarez?
It reminds,
I can tell you, it would be exciting.
It reminds me of Manny Pacquiao fighting
Marquez.
I mean, they fought four times.
Yes.
The reason why they fought four times, because every fight they fought was great.
Everyone wanted to see another one. Yeah,
everyone wanted to see another one. I think the same thing applies with this fight.
I agree.
People want to see Triple G and Canelo.
That's an excellent comparison, because I think it'd go the same way. Triple G's never going to be ranked higher than Canelo in all-time lists, just like Marquez was never going to be ranked higher than Pacquiao. It's just never going to happen. His resume is way better. But for some reason, they have each other's number, and they find a way to make really fun, exciting fights. And if Triple G was able to beat Canelo in the third final fight, I think it would be an excellent, end chapter to his book. And then Canelo can go on and who can beat him in the middleweight division right now other than Triple G? Who could beat him in the super middleweight division? Maybe Callum Smith? I mean, this is a guy who will go on to run to rule boxing in his weight classes for the next 5-6 years. I think if he lost to Triple G here, it wouldn't ruin his career, but it would be a great ending to Triple G.
Yeah, it'd be a good ending for Triple G and the fans to say, you see, I knew.
Yeah, exactly.
I knew. And just like Marquez, he said, yeah, I knew. See, finally,
I told you.
He knocked him out. Yeah, I asked Marquez, will you fight him again? He said, Joe, there's no money in the world. I'm going to fight Pacquiao. I got my revenge. I knocked him out.
No, why would he though? Yeah.
He said, why would I come back and then lose to him?
Why would he?
Yeah. He said, I'm satisfied. And the same thing happened with Evander Holyfield, Reddick, both. The trilogies. I mean, great fights. They fought three times. The reason why they fought three times, you remember the first one?
Yes.
Reddick Bowe took the heavyweight championship, yes, of which I had the honor of being the referee. And then the rematch was the fan man. Remember that parachute guy? The guy came in a parachute with a fan on his back?
A giant fan on his back.
Out there here in Vegas at Caesars Palace. And they had to stop the fight for about 27 minutes. And then, so Reddick Bowe lost the title.
Only fight he ever lost.
Yeah, and then he came back and he beat Reddick Bowe.
He beat Holyfield, yeah.
He beat Holyfield the third time, for the second time. I was a referee. I had to stop the fight. Holyfield went down a couple of times. But those are the kind of fights that we're talking about with Triple G and Canelo.
Exactly. There's certain fighters where they just have your number, and you just want to get that monkey off your back. And like you said, Marquez versus Pacquiao. There's also, if you go into MMA, any UFC fans will feel the same way about Daniel Cormier and Jon Jones. These are guys Daniel Cormier has beat everybody he's ever fought, except Jon Jones has beat him twice. If he were able to get that one monkey off his back, that one big, thing.
What are we? Are we in the zoo or what?
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. You know what I mean? It's like when it's that chip on your shoulder that you just got.
That monkey on your back. I don't want a monkey. You better have a load of
a
bananas with you.
That's exactly
so you can win that fight.
It might help. Wouldn't hurt. Okay. But it's something about that vindication. And I feel like Triple G has been, let's just say what it is. He could have fought. He could have signed with PBC and taken the Jermall Charlo fight and gotten a lion's share of those pay-per-view profits. He could have gone to ESPN and run ESPN and gotten the ESPN hype machine behind him like Tyson Fury has for this upcoming fight. He chose DAZN for one reason, and that's to fight Canelo the third time. It was, by all reports, as much or less money than all these other offers, and he still decided he was going to do it. The only reason he did it was because he had a promise for that third fight. And if you're DAZN right now and the amount of money they're hemorrhaging, of course you're going to push for that.
Okay,
third
now
fight.
Talking about the third fight. Now, he got rid of his trainer, Abel Sanchez.
Yes, he did.
Who was with him throughout most of his career.
Yes, sir.
And Abel Sanchez was probably watching and saying, let's see what, what Canelo.
Did you notice any difference in the way he fought?
No.
From Abel? Me neither. Not really.
It was too short of a fight where it lasted, five rounds, was it?
Yeah, it was like five rounds, yeah. And the first two weren't very action-packed.
Yeah. And I think the first two rounds Canelo, Triple G was just feeling his way out. And Rose, came in there with some. He thought he had some.
He's undefeated for a reason. He thought he had a chance, but.
He was trying to be a little aggressive, but when he got a little aggressive, then he started opening up. That's where he made the mistakes. And the Triple G caught him with
that left. Triple G's so heavy handed.
Triple G caught him with that left hook, and that was it.
Speaking of left hooks.
Oh, man.
Oscar Valdez, he might have the best left hook of someone named Oscar that I've seen in a very long time because. Dang. This is he controlled that fight with the left hand. He just kept, he kept feinting to the body. He got Jason Sanchez, we're talking about Oscar Valdez, but Jason Sanchez on the ESPN card this weekend. He got Jason Sanchez, another undefeated fighter, to drop that right hand over and over and over again. And he just led with that left hook all day long. He opened up that cut, knocked him down with it.
Well, what happens in boxing, you study your fighters, study your opponents. And you can see every time the guy throws a little bit of his right hand, the left hand, he goes down, even if it goes down 2 inches, You know, they try
you
to keep
start
it
to
up.
Notice, yeah.
But then you say, okay, I'm gonna time
an
it.
Opening's an
so
opening,
every time
man,
you,
yeah.
every time you, when you're fighting a fighter, you look at his shoulder, you can see he's gonna try to make that punch, and you know it's coming. Boom, boom! You throw a left hook automatically. He nailed him 99% of the time.
Over and over and over again, he landed with that left hook. And that 12th round was a real barn burner.
Yeah, and
also
he was about getting ready to get stopped.
Exactly, that was really exciting.
Sanchez looked like, I said, oh, he's gonna go here.
Yeah, Sanchez stayed on his feet, and kudos to him for surviving. Sanchez is a good fighter, you know, decent fighter, and he just kept throwing those big looping knockout punches, which work against lower competition. Big looping uppercut, looping left hook, looping right hand, overhand. But against an Oscar Valdez, I mean, you're not going to land that against him. Oscar Valdez lets himself get hit, but not by haymakers.
No. He got hit with some punches, but nothing really
nothing,
serious.
Nothing crazy, yeah.
Yeah, you got in the game, but you're in the hurt business. You're going to end up getting hit.
You're going to get hit, yeah. No one doesn't get hurt.
Well, Devin Haney hardly gets hit.
I mean, even Floyd got hit, like, less than everybody else, but he got hit.
The name of the game is hit and don't get hit. But, you know, we know you're going to get hit.
You're going to get hit a little bit. Yeah, exactly. Everybody gets hit some. Yeah,
exactly.
You know what Although... I mean? We got an upcoming fight this weekend now, this coming weekend, with Josh Warrington fighting a man named Kid Galahad. That's not his real name. His real name is a name that I can't pronounce and remember. But his trainer named him Kid Galahad after an old Elvis Presley movie back in the day that I'm sure you remember. And he's got a fun personality, but he's going up against Josh Warrington, who is another featherweight champion. I'm not sure exactly which belt he has. If Josh Warrington is able to dispose of Kid Galahad the way I think we all kind of expect him to, do you think Oscar Valdez is going to get that fight? Because he's been calling for it. He says he said this is his last year at 126. He says, I've been at 126 since I was an Olympian.
Yeah.
I'm 28 years old. I'm moving up to 130.
Yeah, Valdez feels like, he feels a little weak sometimes during
he's
the fight.
He's just 28 years old. He can't stay 126
forever. And it's the weight. He's probably having a little weight issue. This would probably be the last year. He wasn't going to fight this guy.
He wants Warrington or Frampton. And Frampton's, probably not going to happen.
It's going to be a great fight. You know, Warrington is a good fighter.
He's
and
a great up-and-coming
gonna
fighter,
It's going to be a good fight. And we have also
the big Tyson Fury fight this weekend.
Tyson Fury, here comes Tyson Fury. What turned to be one of my favorites. A while back, I was thinking, now the guy don't have it.
Yeah.
But he seems to have a lot. He really impressed me when he fought Deontay
so
Wilder.
Unbelievably talented. His defensive mechanics, his footwork, his head movement, his ability to hit and not get hit, his ability to win rounds, win points. I mean, he's a 6'9" guy who fights like a featherweight. I mean, he's just moving.
And he's smart. He's smart. I hope a lot of fighters pick up his habits because I like the way he moves ahead. You know, and I mean, he put his hand behind. He did a Conor McGregor. His hand behind his back in front of Wilder. I said, wow, the guy's crazy. Put your hands
behind
the back.
But when you can move your head like that, you can get away with
and
some stuff.
Not only
stuff.
That, but the guy's like, what, 6'4", 6'9". 6'9".
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's tall.
That's tall.
You know?
I mean, Wilder's 6'7", and he was shorter.
Wilder was not accustomed to fighting guys any taller than him.
I wouldn't be if I was 6'7".
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And I remember one time I was refereeing a fight. It was Tony Tucker and...
Legend, yeah.
Tony Tucker was... he was about 6'5", 6'6". Mm-hmm. And he fought... The Hawaiian, the guy from Samoa.
David Tua.
And somebody drew a cartoon of Tony Tucker, David Tua, and me in the middle. It looks like I'm looking up at these two giants, man.
Yeah.
It was like unbelievable, you know?
That's true, though. That's true.
Yeah.
That's why you usually see taller refs, I think, because they're able to get in there. Reese was able to get in there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me tell you one thing.
That's the thing, right?
I mean, you got Benji Estevez. It's a good referee. Yeah. He can handle Eddie.
He's smaller than you, yeah.
He can handle any giant out there. And I remember in the Rocky Balboa movies, if you guys watch those movies, with the exception of me, I think all the referees, they use in those movies because Sylvester Stallone wanted to look bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
So they always hire smaller referees. they were shorter, you know?
Yeah.
And then this way, it makes him look like he's a big heavyweight.
He looks like he's supposed to be a heavyweight, but he's like 5'6", right? 5'7"?
No, he's about 5'9".
Is he?
Yeah,
I'm not being mean. I'm saying he wouldn't fight a heavyweight.
Yeah, you know, a heavyweight, he'll look like a midget next to a heavyweight.
Exactly.
But I mean, he's about 5'9", 5'10". But fighting a heavyweight in the ring, and they kind of make him look bigger.
They do a good job.
By having smaller referees in there. And I was glad to be at the last Rocky Balboa movie.
Yeah, you were in it. Tony Weeks was in the Creed movie.
Yeah.
You have, there's been a bunch of, you guys, it's cool how the Rocky Balboa franchise has pulled a bunch of. I don't think in this last one, in Creed 2, they used fake refs, or actors, I guess they called it.
Actors, yeah.
But I did like how, that's one thing I always like to give a lot of credit to the Rocky franchise, is they strive for authenticity. And you've talked about that. He wanted it to feel like Like a real, I mean, they get real shots, real refs, real judges, real everything, because they really want it to feel authentic when you're in that ring, and it does, to his credit.
Yeah, and talking about these authentic and fighters that really, in the game, these guys that really look, they really polished up a lot. We're talking about fighters that are coming up, man. We talked about, let's talk about, first of all, let's give a shout out to Zab Judah for speedy recovery. You know, he got stopped Friday night up in Verona, New York. And he got stopped in the 11th round. And I was so shocked because I had seen him last week in D.C. on the Haney fight. And we were talking. I was playing around with him. I said, man, your stomach is still pretty. You got the six-pack. He said, well, I got 8-pack.
Yeah. It does sound like him.
And he's...
He's always been in phenomenal shape, man. But I mean, look.
He's 42 years of age, and he's seen his better days.
Yeah.
And now, thank God that it's it. He's back. I saw a picture of him online
with his
twins. It looked like he's going to be okay.
I saw the same picture, yeah.
But you hate to see that. And I want to talk to commissioners around the country, around the world. Man, have your referees, in there to watch it. The referee did a good job in stopping it when he did.
Yeah. It wasn't on the ref.
It wasn't on the ref. But Zab Judah took, according to CompuBox, he took like about 300 punches.
The other guy threw 300 punches.
You know, that's a lot of punches to the head. I mean, imagine me hitting you in the head.
I can't, man.
300
You hit me in the body enough times, and I don't like that. That's no good.
I mean,
those big rings. The Hall of Fame rings. I find that my girlfriend asked me, "What's this on your ribs?" I said, "That's Joe's Hall of Fame ring." He hit me with that body shot, trying to show me something earlier.
But anyway, these guys, you got a bunch of clowns on these shows. I mean, he's gonna be a comedian, but I don't believe him.
Don't believe. I
gave him a love tap.
Love tap. Yeah, he doesn't think he hits hard. He does. Hey, no, let me say, I like to address Zab Judah real quick because this is important. Zab Judah, thank you. Thank you for an outstanding career. Thank you for some of the most iconic fights that we've ever seen. Your fight against Mayweather is one of the first times we've ever seen Mayweather tested. Your speed in the ring, your ring IQ, your ability to stay cardio shape have been outstanding. But you survived the brain bleed this weekend, and I've had a brain bleed. And you're 42 years old. Please don't step back in a ring. Please, please, please don't ever box again. Not competitively, not like this. Your days are behind you. Live with your girls. Live with your life. Please don't do this anymore. Thank you for an outstanding career, possibly Hall of Fame. But I think it's time to hang him up, man.
Yeah, he definitely is a Hall of Famer. He's won like about four different world titles.
No, he's phenomenal, man. I mean, he was so fast
was
back in the day.
He was
he's
good.
The first guy that ever made Floyd look like... You remember Floyd's face when he first hit him? Like, what? Yeah. Where did that come from? I'm usually the fastest guy in the world. What happened?
Yeah, well, I tell you, Zab Judah definitely was one of my favorites. In boxing, he was always a class act guy.
Absolutely.
There have been some fights with him, but he got knocked out by Katsuzu.
Mm-hmm.
The referee, Jay Nady, stopped it, and it was all chaos in the ring. And when he fought Floyd Mayweather...
And the benches cleared, or whatever you call it, the corners?
He hit Floyd Mayweather with a low blow, and...
Roger came over,
And Roger jumped in the ring, and there's all chaos in the ring. And all this, Floyd Mayweather just stepped back in a corner.
You know how Floyd is, though. Yeah, he wasn't gonna
get involved with that.
He's a professional.
And Zab Judah got fined, a hefty fine for the chaos. I mean, he put his.
So Roger Mayweather had to say.
Yeah, I mean, he put his hand on Jay Nady's neck and held him. Doing the ring. I said,
Roger wasn't allowed in a ring at the Nevada State Athletic Commission until the De La Hoya fight again.
Yeah.
He had to appeal. It was in the 24/7 thing because was a big deal.
But anyway, these crazy things happen. But Zab Judah, again, keep your guards up at all times.
Yeah.
And keep on doing what you're doing. You're going to be an excellent trainer. I can see you training top fighters out there. You're going to have a couple of world champions. You're going to keep following your dream. I know you like those belts. And you'll get stuff with some fighters out there.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so now what else we got coming
up? Tyson Fury, let's talk about it. Tyson Fury, Tom Schwartz fight.
Tyson Fury is definitely a fighter that his stocks went up when he fought a draw with Deontay Wilder. I mean, he got knocked down several times, but a 12-round knockdown is what cost Wilder for not losing. He got a draw, but he hit Wilder. Wilder hit him with a shot. I thought he knocked his head into the third row back there.
Because he did. I mean, he did. He hit him with a right hand and then followed him with a left hand as he was already knocked out. Then his head hit the canvas. That's three shots. Hard shots.
I mean, when I watched Deontay Wilder went like this. It's over. And Wilder was so surprised.
Because it was over.
It was.
But and then he came back to life.
His head hit that canvas. Boom.
On the count of five, he rose again.
He said, "Where am I? La la land. No, I'm not. I'm here."
He said, "All right, hang on.
He said, "Let me.
All right, I'm back."
And he had Wilder going that same round, the 12th round.
Exactly. He landed some big shots.
He landed a couple of shots. Wilder held on a little bit. I said, "Oh wow."
That was crazy.
Talking about comebacks in boxing and talking about like Rocky movies, that's up there like
that's one of the greatest comebacks in boxing history, as far as coming back, as far as out of the ring and in the ring, both.
Yeah. And Andy Ruiz, right? That's another punch.
Yeah, let me ask you about that.
I mean, it's like Buster Douglas when he knocked out Mike Tyson. But then again, Mike Tyson was a 42 to 1,
yeah.
A 42 to 1 favorite, and this fight is 11 to 1 underdog for Ruiz. And he comes back and
but then again, this one happened in Madison Square Garden. Not in Japan when no one was watching.
The mecca of boxing.
Exactly. And it happened over the course of 7 rounds. He just systematically beat him down, slapped him around, just demoralized him over and over. And I couldn't believe it.
But then again, you watch Andy Ruiz's previous fights. I started going on YouTube the other day and I was watching. I said, wow, you know.
Yeah, but lots of people look good against Palookas, right?
Yeah, you know, we were going to have him on a phone interview today. And you go on the YouTube channel and check him out there. Check out the interview I did with him 5 days after he won the heavyweight interview. On YouTube. And also share the YouTube channels to become a subscriber.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel. A lot of people can't always watch. If you're watching us on Facebook Live right now, I don't know how you're listening to us or watching us. If you're watching us, it's either on Facebook Live or it's on YouTube. Yeah. For those of us who like to watch us, that's how you do it. You can't always catch it on Facebook Live, so you watch it later on YouTube. That's why you should subscribe, so you're always reminded when videos come up. But those of you listening to us, you can catch us on iTunes, you can catch us on Audio Boom, you can catch us on the podcast app, you can catch us on Spotify, you can catch us on Google Play. And please subscribe to whichever one of those you normally listen to podcasts on.
Exactly. You gotta go on the YouTube channel and watch Joe Cortez basketball. Just put Joe Cortez basketball. You'll watch my shots behind the back. Okay, you guys say basketball. Yeah, check out Joe Cortez throwing the basket behind my back. I got it is edited, but because it was kind of like a 40-minute audio video, but I edited it so just to all the shots that I missed. I'll show you the shots that I did get in. But check out it, shot 11 and 12. They're back-to-back. 35 feet from the basket.
11 and 12.
I mean, this is a boxing show, but I got to bring that up. We're talking about the YouTube channel.
You promote that more than anything. It's so funny because it's like, what are you?
I mean, but one of
what
my
does
favorite,
it rank on your most proud moment? It's up there, right?
I mean, you know what? Who the hell can get 13 shots in behind the back? We're not looking at the back. 35
Two
feet
in a
away.
Row is impressive.
But 11 and 12, you can see there's not edited.
There's no cut.
There's no cut there. And you know what? My grandson Bryce and Ricky were there with me. And this is a number of years back, but it's still on YouTube channel. That's why I said YouTube channel is great. I love to watch it. I like to watch all the fights. That's why I told referees and fighters, if you want to follow your opponent, or you want to see, if you're a referee in a fight, you want to see the habits of a certain fighter, go to YouTube channel and check it out. But YouTube channel is really so, you know what? I love the Americans Got Talent. I love that. I'm going to go out there one day and show you how to hit the speed bag, how to get that speed bag going.
Is it going to be on America's Got Talent hitting the speed bag?
I'm going to go on America's Got Talent. I'm going to show them how to hit the speed bag. My eyes closed, man.
That'll be pretty impressive.
I'm only kidding.
Let me ask you a boxing question. Rank the top heavyweights right now. Rank the top five heavyweights right now after what just happened.
Well, you got Deontay Wilder.
Number one?
Right now, he's number one.
I think so too.
He's the WBC champion. And of course, I would say, man, Andrew Ruiz has got, I got to put him in there, but then I got Tyson Fury.
Yeah, who do you have? Who do you have number two?
I got Tyson Fury number two.
Good.
I got Andrew Ruiz number three. And they got
Anthony Joshua number four?
I'm going to put Joshua number four now.
Okay, he still has a fourth best resume. Now here's about a real question. You got Dillon White. Yeah. You got Luis Ortiz. Kalnacki.
No, Luis Ortiz right up there.
Luis Ortiz number five?
Yeah, number five for sure.
That's your top five heavyweights. That's right
top five heavyweight. You know what? And if you guys keep making the kind of money you're making, I'm going to put on a couple of more pounds. I'll be number six on the heavyweight list.
Shit, dude, I'll take the money that the number six heavyweight in the world makes right now. Absolutely.
Oh, my God. You know, but this is the boxing world for you. And I can tell you that it's amazing, all these fights. You guys have any questions? Get our guys out here to work a little bit. Give us some questions out there. You guys want to know who's going to fight next in the middleweight division? Who's the best lightweight? Who's the best welterweight?
We got it all, baby.
The welterweight division. Don't forget. We can't forget about that.
Oh, we don't. That's the best one.
Now you got Keith Thurman and Manny Pacquiao. You know, Keith Thurman and Manny Pacquiao, you know, again, guys and fans out there from the Philippines, let us know what you feel about that. Subscribe on the YouTube channel. You got a big following out there.
Yes.
Manny Pacquiao, of which I refereed about 3 times. And don't forget, I refereed when he won his first championship fight here in Las Vegas when he was 118-pounder.
118.
You know, actually, he was a 112-pounder, 112-pounder.
That's crazy, man.
And here he is, a welterweight, still welterweight champion of the world.
Yes, absolutely.
He's been fighting for 2 decades.
No, fully.
It's you Filipino fans, take your hats off to this man. He really is definitely like a Hall of Famer above anybody else out there besides the great ones like Muhammad Ali.
No, he's one of the great. I mean, look, I posed a question the other day, and I think we need to go into real in depth with this. So it's just an idea that I'm throwing out here. If Manny Pacquiao beats Keith Thurman,
right,
being that it's 2019, it's the last year of the decade, right?
Uh-huh.
We always go into Fighter of the Decade. Now, he won Ring Magazine's Fighter of the Decade for 2001 to 2010.
Yeah.
Or 2001 to 2009, I'm sorry. Which is, you know, so if you go into this decade, 2010 to 2019, would this win be enough to put him over? Real question.
I believe so. I
mean, remember, you also have Canelo had a good decade.
Yeah,
Mayweather had an excellent 4 years in this decade. Excellent one.
I mean, it's a big mix in there.
Also, Andre Ward is also in that Andrew conversation. Ward.
Yeah. We got some questions out there from some of our fans. I asked you some questions. I bet you it's got to do with Anthony Joshua.
Probably.
Or Canelo Alvarez.
Those are the big draws. Yeah,
and what happened Saturday night, Oscar Valdez, he looked outstanding.
He did look really good.
I mean, you know, for 126-pounder, you know, he's a good banger.
Oh, yeah, he bangs, man. And he lets himself get hit, but that's always been his problem with his defense.
Yeah.
We'll see how it holds up against a real top-level opponent. I'm excited to see.
I don't want to see fighters taking punches to the head. I don't care how good you are, you know. And who do we predict for the Tyson fight? Joe and John, so they're asking us.
They're asking us who we predict.
Hey, Tyson Fury.
No, Mike Tyson.
Tyson Fury. You see, I named Tyson, but you better be fighting like Tyson. We have a name like that. Now, I definitely go with Tyson Fury. Which round? I'll say I probably knock this guy out with about 4 or 5 rounds.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Tyson. I think he'll win. I think he'll stop him in the 11th. I think it'll be a stoppage in the 11th. Otherwise, it'll end up.
I never heard of the guy Schwartz. You know,
he's never fought outside of either Germany or Czech Republic. Look, a lot of these guys, you know, when they never fought outside of Mexico, Jaime Munguia, and we go, yeah, but how good could he possibly be? He's never fought outside of Mexico. Ends up being pretty good.
Yeah.
Other guys, like, you know, never fought outside of Ghana, like Isaac Dogbe. Ends up being pretty good for 2 fights.
Yeah.
And then you end up, you know what I mean? There's like a lot of times these guys you've never heard of, they never fought outside of their home country. They might come out here and surprise us, but often than not, when they've only fought in one corner of the world, been protected in their little bubble, get exposed to the highest level.
That was some of the talk about Anthony Joshua, you know, that he fought for the first time.
Yeah.
Well, not the first time, but the
first time in America.
In America, and in the Mecca boxing of the world, at Madison Square Garden, to have get in. You know, maybe they felt he was something. There was some talk about that. His father said that he was suffering from anxiety.
Well, there's been a lot of reports. A lot of rumors.
They said that he was knocked out doing training.
Yes, concussed in training.
You know, we got to find out, man. With their smoke, there must be fire, but you got
to
see.
Also, man, though, does there have to be fire? Because sometimes there's just going to be a lot of smoke when you have the biggest upset in the history of the heavyweight division in the last 20 years.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this was a very big deal. This was an insane upset. There's a reason why there's going to be, but because there's always these reports. Whenever there's any kind of upset, they say he got knocked out in training or he needed an IV right before. There's always these little rumor mill that they sneak out because they want to make, you know, cover up what happened. And in this being as big of a high profile upset as it was, you're going to have more smoke. So there doesn't always have to be fire, but the way I see it, he did look a little off going into the fight, but he didn't look way off. He looked listless at best. But once he got hit in the 3rd round, right above his right temple, that's when everything changed.
I think somebody says, I saw something online, somebody said he got bitten by an ant.
Jeez.
Bit him on that big muscular body, and an ant knocked him out.
You think that's what it was?
I'm only kidding.
It's a spider bite. Man, it's always, that's the thing, though. You have all these people.
These rumors, man. There's a lot of baloney. You know why?
Exactly.
The guy, he had no excuses. He took his hat off to Andy Ruiz.
Exactly.
He said, like a gentleman, he says, you deserve to get all the credit.
He was a better man than I. And he was a better man than I. And he outboxed him.
And he didn't say no excuses that I had anxiety attack or I got hurt doing training. He went out like a champion. And when he comes back, he said, I'm going to knock this guy out. But let's see what happens. You know, he's going to going to be interesting rematch. We still
don't
know.
That's really the question. What are we going to see coming up next?
They say, like Eddie Hearn said in an interview Friday, that it'll be within 2 weeks you're going to announce where the fight's going to take place for the rematch.
Well, that's the crazy thing is that's already set in stone. When Andy Ruiz signed for the first fight, he had to sign all the conditions for the rematch as well. You want to know why a lot of these top fighters weren't taking fights against Anthony Joshua? You want to know why Deontay Wilder and Luis Ortiz and all these other guys are turning them down? You're starting to see. Look at these terms they're putting in. Even if you beat us, you still have to fight the rematch on our terms.
Well, you're
gonna when you hold all those cards, you can kind of call what you want.
With all the money you guys are getting, I'll tell you right now.
Popping back?
Get under contract, under close on a contract, you must fight Joe Cortez.
You must right there on the rematch.
Hey, guys, you know, with that said, I'm going to say, keep your guards up at all time. You're the best out there. We love all you fans. Keep up the good work. Don't forget to subscribe on the YouTube channel, Spotify,
yeah, you name
iTunes.
It, Google Play, everything. Everywhere where podcasts exist, you can subscribe to our show, and we'd love to, you know, we'd love to have the subscriptions. Thank you, and make sure you share as well.
Yeah, I see you fans, but somebody's put up something there that Joe Cortez is the best referee in the world. I'm not going to say I'm the best referee in the world, but I thank you for that. All I can say is I tried my best while I was refereeing. I did everything I could in my power to make it a good fight. A lot of fans would say, Joe, when we saw you in there, we know we're going to be in a good fight. So John and I are going to be in a fight in the near future. We're going to do an exhibition for you fans. We love you guys. Keep your guards up at all times. And remember, I'm fair, but I'm firm. Touch him up, brother.
Fair but firm with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joe Cortez for all of Las Vegas. Come on, guys. Let's touch him up. Clean fight. I'm Joe Cortez. Fair but firm.